concerning the apprenticeship bill.
Have you got any schedule?
Yes, I do. The first witness is Larry Matthews.
Mr. Chairman, can I just say a word before you?
Yes.
I have another hearing.
Come in, first witness is Representative Skelton.
I have another hearing to go into, I just want to...
I'm sorry, Keith.
This is the bill that came out of the Interim Committee on Labor Management. Both the chairman and Representative Kennedy are familiar with the bill from previous sessions. Those familiar with the subject of previous sessions. At the time the bill was drafted in the Interim Committee, there was a lot of testimony and a lot of shuffling of feet and so on and so forth. Everybody seemed to be marching in one direction. The bill came out of the committee unanimously. Since that time, I understand there's been some controversy arise concerning it. And what that controversy is, I do not know. I'm sure you'll find it out in your hearing. But your bill has sets up a state joint committee. Board of one member, representative employers, a member of the trade craft industrial association, each local joint committee. It tracks in the State Board of Education in Section 9. Assisting working with the councils in developing courses of study, that sort of thing. It does not raise the issue which divided the committee submitted in the last session. We divided the committee, but divided the segments of industry, so that's not the issue of the prevailing wage. That's not the thing. I merely wanted to introduce it to you and tell you that the history of it is in your report on the labor management relationship.
Mr. Skelton, that last bill changed the makeup of the state board too. Does this,
No.
It does not?
No.
Was that considered by the interim committee?
No, it was not.
Okay, we thank for, Pat, do you have any questions, Representative?
Nope.
Thank you very much, Keith. Appreciate you coming. Matthews?
In the absence of Dr. Parnell, I have the responsibility of giving the testimony for the department. And we appeared on five different occasions before the subcommittee to relate to the concerns that education was involved with. And out of that came on page 6, section 9, the detailing of the responsibility of education to do certain things. And I would like to suggest a change of one word on line 28, where it says the Board of Education may adopt policies. I would suggest shall, so that it would be consistent with the responsibility of the State Apprentice Council that they shall do certain things. Now, the reason we went into detail in spelling out what should be done in connection with this related training was that in the previous bill, it was left simply, we shall cooperate. And it's pretty difficult to determine what cooperation is. And one of the problems as we in education move into the vocational field is the necessity to determine what is needed in each one of these trades in the way of skill training and trade knowledge. And we're going to have a depend on the local trades and industries to tell us what this is. And if this bill is enacted, I would see the direction given to our vocational training program coming from a township. This might be somewhat ambitious, but we have to involve the trades in telling us what is needed. And no matter what happens with apprenticeship, we still have this job to do. And I just sort of thought we'd get a jump on it by spelling it out and getting the show on the road. There were some other implications in the bill, such as the responsibilities of state trade committees. And this was written in for the purpose of identifying on a statewide basis what was needed in a given craft. And the way it is now, we have as many as 11 and 12 separate joint committees representing localities with their own training standards. And we find it impossible to react to this many kinds of inputs. So we wanted to get a minimum standard established on a statewide basis so that we couldn't run a night anyway. Really, they could pin us down and say, this is what we need. And the way it is now, you get one idea about what related training should be in Portland, another idea in Eugene. And as long as there is this discrepancy, no one reads. That's all I have to say, except that Dr. Cornell was particularly concerned with establishing credit toward the requirements of community college degrees for work experience and apprenticeship skills. And our responsibility in that area would deal with having the schools sit down and agree on among themselves as to how this policy should be enacted and be consistent throughout the state. Now, we're selfish in our approach to this. We do not want to be repeating basic education courses in apprenticeship that have already been taught in public schools. In other words, blueprint reading, you're going to have that. Let's have it in schools and not have it also included in apprenticeship training. This is one of the
Mr. Matthews, can you tell me briefly how or if this bill will guarantee that community college courses or relevant vocational courses will be part of an apprenticeship credit towards his apprenticeship? I didn't phrase that very well, but
I think you did. That section of developing policies is the responsibility of the State Apprenticeship Council now, in cooperation with education. In both cases, we're going to be working together. And I can't guarantee what would happen, but where this is an aim that we're shooting for.
Could you suggest to the committee any way that we could guarantee that credit will be given to apprenticeships for community college, relevant community college training, vocational training?
There are two key words there. First, relevant college training. We, at this time, can't put our finger on what a course in auto mechanics is teaching in one school as compared to another. Each growth, while we haven't the personnel or the system to evaluate the various community college courses, and we're in the process now of trying to get our handle on this. But this is the first step that would have to be taken, is some sort of standardization of these relevant courses, to in terms of objectives and results that you can measure. And then if the school does this, then there is a responsibility on the other hand that the committees identify what their needs are. And then if you match them up. And at this time, we haven't done either. I took a long way around.
You feel that the attitudes of the council presently will lead to the granting of credit towards apprenticeship for relevant vocational training in community colleges and elsewhere?
The way the language of the bill places on the council the responsibility of setting up policies and procedures, granting the credit then is done by the local committee under the guidelines that the council established. We still subscribe to the theory of local control of the apprentice training program that's administered by the local committees.
In other words, then, Mr. Matthews, the local committee could still veto relevant community college vocational training.
Well, if the policies are set up and they veto it arbitrarily, then the responsibility is there. But the way it is now,
they couldn't be overruled under this bill by the council or by the State Department.
Well, we wouldn't have responsibility for that. It would be the State Apprenticeship Council.
Would they have the authority to veto a local committee's veto of relevant community college vocational training?
I think it would depend on how the policies would develop and what.
But the bill.
Their evaluation.
But is there anything in this bill that would give them this authority?
I think so.
Could you point it out to me?
Same line, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask a reaction from Mr. Matthews. If perhaps on line 30 of page 6, we would say such policies, standards, or programs shall involve all of the following matters. Perhaps the idea that Mr. Kennedy had, if perhaps that would give the Board of Education a little bit more, make them a little more responsible to fulfilling subparagraphs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
In some cases, all of these would not apply where there are statewide industry developed training courses. We would not be as deeply involved. It depends on the need of the particular craft or training. And I think, well, it doesn't really. It wouldn't bother us to change the shell, but all of those, we just sort of put the laundry list in there of the things that education considers.
I'm wondering how are we going to guarantee that the Board of Education does consider these aspects of it? This is my purpose for suggesting those amendments.
Well, the development of vocational materials follow this procedure. These are the things that are recommended as good educational professional approach. And as I mentioned, this section to Dr. Parnell, that it was pinning us down to some very definite areas, and he had no comments, so I assume that he follows his feelings in this matter. We're trying to do these things right now in developing course material. We've got clusters, which are simply guidelines for the development of training programs. We still have in-service training. We've got some of this on the board, but the development of curriculum material. This is a tremendous challenge.
Seems like it's been a very long process.
Oh, I wouldn't encourage the committee to feel it's an instant thing. When you look at Ohio State spending 5 years to develop that instruction program for the junior high school, 5 years and $5 million. I think we can get more mileage out of our time and money, but some of it takes time.
This bill evidently does not speak to the makeup of the state council, nor to the length of service one must serve to be to graduate from the apprenticeship in the various trades, as the bill did 2 years previously. Is that right? Is anybody here from the Department of Labor?
This is.
Well, one that is in your area, should the state superintendent of public instruction be on the apprenticeship council?
He doesn't feel it should.
Well, I wouldn't want you to answer for somebody whom you ain't.
Well, he's made this pretty clear in his testimony.
Should there be an apprentice? Should there be somebody from the Department of Education on the apprenticeship council if we're going to concentrate so much in the area of community college and so forth?
Well, the role that we play is pretty minor in that related instruction represents about less than 7% of the total training program. PCR functions more as a service to the program as opposed to involved in developing policies for them. Direction they go is still the responsibility of the individual crafts and the industry. We don't suggest that we know what is good for any industry. This is why we're trying to develop more input from the field.
What percentage did you say it was now?
It's about less than 7%. The 2,000 hours considered 1 year, and then the related work and one related training amounts to 144 hours. So it's less than 7% of the total training program. It's really an on-the-job training as opposed to an educational program.
You feel this is adequate? Are there any more questions, Mr. Matthews? Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Randall.
It is, but that's redundant, it's pretty well covered in the section of all the way down to section 5. Where it says each state joint committee shall elect the chairman, vice chair, and so on and so forth.
You're suggesting a period after training, Pat?
Yes. Then, due to an oversight on my part, there's no indication in section 3, line 11, as to how this state joint committee shall be made up, or how it should be selected. So after the word committee on line 13, recommend be inserted employer committee members to select their representative and employee members to select their representative. Just makes it quite plain that all the committee members don't vote on two people selected. And also, we have two sorts of committees. We have local joint apprenticeship committees, and we have trade apprenticeship and training committees. Overlooked the trade apprenticeship training committee. They are made up of, well, say for example, there's not enough people, not enough apprentices in one trade or craft to set up a joint apprenticeship committee for that trade or craft or industry. You would have this trade apprenticeship training. You may have a watchmaker employer and a watchmaker employee. You may have a plumber employer and a plumber employee. That sort of committee, miscellaneous type committee, overlook having these people represented on the state trade committees in the formation. So I would insert employer and employee members of the trade apprenticeship and training committees shall be members of the state trade committee of the trade, craft, or industry they represent. On these trade apprenticeship training committees, there's only one employer. One employee. These people then on being appointed or selected to serve this type of committee automatically become representatives of the state committee. Am I making myself clear?
I think so, Pat, but what's a member of the state trade committee?
Well, the state trade committee is outlined in section 3 on line 11. State joint committee shall be composed of one member representing employers, one member.
Okay, I'm with you.
That's your state joint committee. These employer and employee representatives then trade apprenticeship training committee.
You have any other comment on the bill, Pat?
No, except that I agree with the bill, and it's going in the right direction. I think it will answer some of the complaints that have been registered in relation to the training. And hopefully it'll get the state committee back in power in a position of authority where they can take quite a workload off of the state legislature council. It is now each local committee submits their changes before the two state legislature council. Now they will have to submit it to the state joint committee, have it okayed there before it goes on to the council. And there have been some dog fights on that at the state council meeting. Chairman themselves and our industry committee before it's submitted.
When you have a group selected by employers and by employees in equal number, how do you get a chairman of the committee elected?
Well, the state joint committee, you mean?
Yes.
Well, everybody votes on the chairman. And it's worked real well in the past. There's been no problems because there are, certainly we realize there's like somewhere. For example, we had a contractor from Blue Bay as chairman for many years. And the secretary of the committee was a business representative from Albany. So there really hasn't been any problems. We work very good together. As a friendship committee, we sit down and talk about the welfare of the premises, and this is our main goal, is the welfare of the premises.
Generally, how does this new bill improve the apprenticeship situation in the state of Oregon?
Well, number one, by trying to give uniformity in the standards throughout the state in the various trade strategies, by sending this, by giving the authority to control. Now the industry has stopped. Well, work out a level we had in the carpenters, as an example, under the old law, we put out model rules. State joint committee put out model rules, which were adopted by the various local governments, local communities. And this could be done in all the to get the thinking of the entire state on what's best for the apprentice rather than the thinking of this whole committee should have to do with something. And first of all, I think also that the promulgation of rules and regulations and setting up a committee, line 31, page 3 in the bill, it now says the committee shall be established. This will give the state apprenticeship council a better opportunity to select who they think is the best building to use that local committee. Because they have the right to accept or reject committee appointments.
Could a young man who wanted to be a longshoreman and was apprenticed in Coos Bay now move to Portland and have the same set of regulations that he was subjected to in Coos Bay?
Well, I don't know. Longshoreman, he would have apprenticeship. I understand your question. But we can't guarantee that a young man in an apprenticeship of any trade tractor is moving from one area to the next would have the same set of standards. No.
If he was supposed to have 4,000 hours in Eugene, he moved to Portland. It wouldn't be 4,500 hours.
No, that is pretty much established. What you might run into is the areas of training is outlined, the number of hours spent each specific portion of that training may vary from area to area.
Ed?
Well, would you just briefly run over the structure of the apprenticeship program in the state as it will be if 1046 is enacted? In other words, we have the council and what they're
responsible. Well, we start at the bottom with the local committee. Then we go from the local
theory conflict.
And that unit will have responsibility for a certain craft? Is that your idea?
Yeah, for a specific craft, ready for it. Now, I was talking to the people here, maintaining mill ride program. Well, there are several maintenance mill ride programs in the state, and they make the work of my state community. Trying to bring about uniformity in their own thing, that of mill ride, maintenance mill ride program. So if a young man was working at Coos Bay in the sawmill, and down there, sawmill, Seneca, and sure that he would be in the same place in the program, and say, I'm from the new year, this is a good example.
The State Apprenticeship Council then formulate certain standards for the apprenticeship committee, the training committee?
They probably would adopt those standards brought forth by the state training, rather than going to try and develop themselves.
They'll have a continuous review of any policies adopted by the trade committee.
Absolutely. They are the absolute power.
What is the makeup of the apprenticeship council now?
It's on page, it's the same page.
Yeah, it's on the same page.
66110.
66110.
Oh, I see.
Representative Skelton indicated there might be some flap about this. There's no flap as far as you people are concerned. Just these changes that you, these amendments you recommend.
I can't guarantee that. I've had some discussions with some of the building trades and I've heard some indications there are certain areas that they have different primarily in the area covered.
What degree do you rely on them now?
Well, to a great degree. Now, you'll find that the old established craft groups don't rely on them to the degree that the newer programs have been to rely on. For example, the carpenters have a national program, the machine workers have a national program, the plumbers have a program, they all have a national program. But still, I believe yesterday the department was used to material implemented by the Board of Education, Department of Education, in conjunction with our state or federal program. But the new one, new people coming on, need to function now. And there's a very set that
Cornell by the Board of Education on the current program, by the established crafts and trades, by their program that they are instituting at all?
You don't know him.
I think that's all the questions, Mr. Randall. Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to testify on this measure? I noticed Mr. Donica lurked in the wings and disappeared. Nobody else wants to testify on this? Hearing is closed on, at least this hearing is closed on 1046. Mr. Matthews, is anybody from the Department of Labor going to show up on this bill? Meeting is adjourned. And have a good weekend.